This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
This is a prayer by Peter Traven Haas, and I invite you to pray this in the first person for yourself. Let us pray. Everlasting giver of life, there is a truth in me that shines despite its hiddenness. This truth was given the moment I was born. It is my identity, which comes from you. Whatever my boss or colleagues or family members or spouse or friends think they see when they look at me, there's more. I stand in the knowledge of my deepest being today with perfect assurance that nothing can separate me from your love in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Okay, you ready for this? So the gong, this Buddhist gong in Buddhist culture, represents a time of a beginning of meditation or something important happening, and it's used throughout the world now in many, many different ways to emphasize a time apart, a different segment of something happening. So too, this Tibetan bowl. Can you hear that in the back? No? Yeah? We ring this bowl in our centering prayer practice that we have, that we'll be starting up again soon, to indicate the beginning of our time of silence. And then the bell also calls us out of that silence. And it's a time when we can remember deep within us and consent to God's presence and action within us. A time apart. So too, this little one with a higher pitch I've used this over the years, especially when I was teaching in the school, and sometimes when we do VCC with a crowd of kids and things are getting a little noisy, and I tell them that I'm not going to yell, but I ring the bell, and they notice that there's something that needs to come back to center. There's something that's shifting with the sound of that bell. And then there's this one. This is an antique bell that was given to me a long time ago. And I bring it for the Easter Vigil, as we all, you know, many of you also bring bells from home when we light the first fire of Easter and all the lights in the church come up. And we ring and we ring and we ring to signify something new happening, something different in our resurrected life, in our way of looking at things. Even though they fall down, they raise up again. And in Christ, we are in the world, but not of it. In the world, but not of it. We have so many different kinds of bells in our world. We have jingle bells. We have sleigh bells. We have cow bells. We have wedding bells. We have school bells. Many of us, and those of us that are still in school, when you go back in person, if you haven't already, and I remember back in the days, you couldn't wait for that clock, right, to get up to the top of the hour, and then the bell would go off and we were free. Well, nerd that I am, I also enjoyed the bell at the beginning of the class. I was kind of excited about it. It marked a time that was different, a time apart. Then we have doorbells. Somebody's coming to visit us. And in COVID, when that didn't happen so much, at least now we know there might be a package at the front door. Something new has entered into our life. Something new. And then there's church bells. At the beginning of every service, just like we did this morning, we stand at the ringing of the bell. And we have sung two bells that we ring in service that are over here. The acolytes ring them at different points in the service that aren't more holy than others, but that are kind of a magnification of a shift in the service or something very, very important going on, like when the priest raises the bread, raises the wine, a time apart to get our attention. And finally, we have funeral bells. We ring the big bell that's on top of the church 33 times on Good Friday to indicate the 33 years that Jesus walked the earth. And when I was working at the National Cathedral, we would ring, they would ring, I wouldn't ring it, this big, big Borden bell, they called it, which was a deep, deep, deep sound. And it was to indicate maybe the number of years somebody had died, like a president. I mean, somebody had lived, like a president or a senator or some big dignitary in the country. Or it also could indicate the number of people that had died in a tragedy. In a tragedy. And when you were in that place, I could feel, and I imagine everybody could, you could feel that vibration coming up and just washing over you, shifting you into a different consciousness, being in the world, but not of it. So it's important that we take a minute to talk about this word world. Jesus uses it 13 times in today's gospel, 13 times, knowing that the disciples were going to be in the world where they had been with him, but he was able to protect them when he was with them. But he had been telling them that he was going to be leaving, and yet they would still be in the world. So what we heard in the gospel today was Jesus' prayer to God for the disciples who were going to be in the world. And this world, the way that Jesus means it and the way that we hear it spoken about in scriptures, and Paul especially, is when we choose to go away from God. When we are choosing things that are not of God, or when we sin. And the definition in our Book of Common Prayer, in the back of the book, it says that sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and ourselves. So it's when we seek our own will instead of God. So we may get caught up in something at work that we know isn't right, and yet we go along to get along. Or we may not say anything if there's a racist joke that's told and we're in a company of people and we don't want to make them feel bad. That's the way the world would have us be. Or maybe lies or delusions, deceptions, abuse, you know, there's a long, long list, right? The way the world would have us be is what Jesus is talking about today and calling his disciples and all of us to be in the world, but not of that kind of world. In the world and not of it. And like a bell, death can bring us there. Death, if a close loved one dies, someone in our community dies, it fine-tunes everything and helps us to realize what's really important in life. What's really important? This love, this depth of connection with other people, how we treat one another. A trauma can do that as well. Some sudden shock of losing a job or a tragedy that happens, or war. Also, ecstasies can bring us into and help us realize that we're in the world and not of it, right? Like the birth of a baby, like a spectacular sunrise or a sunset where we're just taken out of time for a moment, falling in love. Those times, maybe in a deep, deep conversation where we lose track of time and we look up and we think, oh my gosh, I've got to get to work. Those times out of time, we're not in the world. So we are challenged to be in that world, but not of it. And great healings that have happened, so many here in this very church, that breaks our hearts wide open with gratitude. And it also occurs in the stillness. When we take the time to pray, to get still, and to listen for God's voice within us, in the world, but not of it. In those moments, the world goes on. You know, I'm sure all of you have felt this after a death or something happens, or maybe falling in love, something like that. That seems like the world should know what's going on within us. You know, how do people keep doing what they're doing and not realize? And you're in your own little bubble. In the world, but not of it. Well, imagine going through a traumatic experience or an ecstatic experience. And either realizing in that moment or maybe looking back on it and realizing that God is right with you in that moment, even in the depth of despair, pulling you through out of darkness or the narrative of the world, the way you're supposed to be, into the light and toward love and toward the fruits of the Spirit. Just imagine that. And maybe in your life, if you have a memory like that, maybe later you could go back and recall how God was with you anyway, even if you didn't feel it in that moment, wanting us to know that we are one, as Jesus' prayer taught us this morning. We'll talk about being in the world and not of it. Can you imagine how the disciples felt? Waiting and waiting and waiting. They're in the upper room, right? Jesus has already ascended into heaven. We heard that story last week. Ascension Day was last Thursday. And the Holy Spirit hasn't come upon them yet. The realization of that power has not come upon them yet. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told them to wait in Jerusalem. And just to wait. And so they obeyed him, and they were in the upper room, and they waited, and they waited, and they were waiting. They didn't know how long it was going to be. They were told to wait until they were clothed from the power from on high. Well, they kept waiting, and I imagine they were panicked. I imagine there were times where they lost that faith. They lost their encouragement. They doubted. There were still persecutions going on all around them. Maybe they encouraged each other, one of them maybe spoke out, Peter or John, somebody, and encouraged them by reminding them of the prayer that Jesus spoke for them at the Last Supper, which is what the gospel was today. Just maybe. Maybe Peter said something like this: remember at the Last Supper we had with him just a little more than 40 days ago? All of a sudden, he looked up to heaven and he said a prayer for himself, and then he said a prayer for us. Do you remember? That even though he was leaving us in the world, he asked God to protect us, just like he did, and to sanctify us, to set us apart after he was gone, make us holy, that is. And why? Do you remember? So that his joy would be made complete in us, he prayed. So that we may realize we are one, just like Jesus was one with his Father. This was no small prayer, my brothers and sisters. And yes, there were women there. He'll keep his promise. He believes in us. He's here for us. We can believe him even though we can't see him. We have to be in the world and not of it. The power of the Holy Spirit is coming to give us everything we need to be his love and his light. In this world, maybe. And so they did wait. And we'll be celebrating what happened on Pentecost a week from today. This prayer is also for us in the hardest parts of our life and in our joys. And yet we know it's hard for us not to get into the ways of the world and to fall into that trap of maybe talking about somebody or putting somebody down or worse. We all fall into it from time to time, and yet we are called to come back to center, to remember who we are, and to know that God's going to be there waiting for us always. God doesn't go anywhere. We do. When we choose that, To be in the world and not of it is our calling for today. And the way we do that is in prayer and taking the time in prayer and meditation and silence to know deeper and deeper that God within us. We already have that power from on high. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, comes through our very beings and invites us to transform this world on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer all the time in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. That means right here, right now. Right now. Those are our marching orders. And we can do it because we don't do it alone. We can fall down and we get up. And we can reach out to others. We can embrace what's called the gift of tears at times. And know that that's also following Christ. In closing, I give you a prayer by Michael Lunig. Let us pray. Dear God, we struggle, we grow weary, we grow tired, we are exhausted, we are distressed, we despair, we give up, we fall down, we let go, we cry, we are empty, we grow calm. We are ready. We wait quietly. A small, shy truth arrives from without and within, arrives and is born. Simple, steady, clear, like a mirror, like a bell, like a flame, like rain in summer. A precious truth arrives and is born within us, within our emptiness. We accept it, we observe it, we absorb it, we surrender to our bare truth. We are nourished, we are changed, we are blessed, we rise up. For this we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.